Good morning, Patriots. What's going on? I'll tell you, today is going to be a long day. And I'll tell you why here in just a second. Let's start by a reminder that Mike Lindell had war declared on him once again with the deep state against MyPillow. They bumped him off of Vimeo over the weekend, which to this date, the attacks on Mike Lindell and his company have cost MyPillow $64 million. So yesterday, if you weren't listening to the shows, or if, just so you are reminded as well, we're promoting MyPillow these days, and MyPillow has given us the discount code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, for you to use, B-A-R-D-S. And so they also have a special 800 number they set up for the BARDS family, 1-800-975-2939. So that promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, share it far and wide. We're pushing to what we're calling the slipper revolution. I've talked at length about it. I will continue to talk about it over the coming days and weeks and months. It's a lead up to the Bards Fest, where we're going to be having a My Slipper Day to honor MyPillow for all they've done, and Mike Lindell for all he's done for this nation in attempting to protect the vote and protect free speech. And it's time now more than ever that we launch a major offensive to boost his sales. We had set an initial target of 100,000 My Slippers. The leadership team with Bards decided we should move that up to 200,000. And so after doing that, the Patriots here have said that that's way too limiting to God and not enough. So we've set to take that challenge and see how far we can go. We've set that baseline at 1 million minimum, 1 million minimum My Slipper sales by August. So let's jam on it. Let's really show how much we respect and love Mike Lindell and his company. And then we'll bring in phase two of this operation, which will be at Bards Fest, where we will identify seven companies who have stabbed this country in the back, and we will begin a boycott on them and crush them in the months to follow Bards Fest. But for right now, our focus is on raising and elevating one of the best companies in our country, if not the best, and that's MyPillow with CEO Mike Lindell, founder, creator of MyPillow, and also, remember, he is not only a strong patriot, but he's an open Christian, gives his thanks to God and Christ for all he has accomplished. He can't have a better arrangement. And we're sending a message to every other country, every other company in the country, to make sure they understand what we consider to be an acceptable and correct way in managing your company. So there you go. Bards, B-A-R-D-S, is the promo code. Spread it far and wide. Dig in. Go into social media. Go into the comments section. Defend him. Enlighten people about him. Give them the promo code to use. And our slipper revolution has begun. So, Patriots, I was literally up until 3:30. I get up at 4:30 every day. And last night, when I finished, and I'm going to talk about it here in a second, when I finished, I looked at the clock and I rolled my eyes and I went, oh, man, I'm going to get about an hour of sleep, which is exactly what I ended up with. So the coffee's running heavy today. In my garden, there has been something that has been eating on the plants and really going heavy on the leafed plants. A number of the cauliflower plants have just suddenly died. The broccoli plants have ended up with holes cut through them. Something's eating on them. And same with the melons, same with the kale. And it's become increasingly worse over the last, it started out as a drip and it's become almost a flood. And I've been kind of trying to treat it during the daytime when obviously no activity like that's happening. So I use some things like diatomaceous earth, which is a natural way of solving bug problems. You put it around every other plant. But last night as I was sitting here, I realized that the only way I can deal with that problem is to address the problem at the time the problem was actually happening. I can't be putting it off to another time and then thinking I understand what it is. So that's why I stayed up. And I waited till after midnight and I went out and I discovered the problem. And it was exactly what I didn't expect. In fact, I had to look it up online to believe what I was seeing. I have always known, and you've probably known, that earwigs are a wonderful little predator for bugs in the garden. I've never thought anything about them. What I didn't realize is that earwigs can become an aggressive consumer of your leafed vegetables. And I don't mean in a little way. They like... And I've been around earwigs a long time. I've gardened quite a bit in my life. And I just never, that one just didn't crop into my knowledge database of one first one I'd suspect. Japanese beetles, yeah. And there's some little Japanese beetles out there that are now dead. But the earwigs was just not one I expected. It was both friend and foe. And so I stayed up last night and I did a suds rinse of the, I did sprayed a light suds spray on the leaves to kill off the earwigs. And then I mixed up some natural neem oil with water. If you're familiar with neem, N-E-E-M oil, it's an antifungicide. It's an anti, it kills pests. It's very, very powerful. And I sprayed the leaves of the plants and hopefully we'll save the plants. If not, I'll just end up doing a lot of replanting, but I think we will. But this is what I really started to realize, is that little incident was a reminder to me, and a reminder, I think, to all of us. And it was a real gift that God was showing me something last night. And it started with, in the evening, just near the end of Fishers of Men last night, it started with an email that I received from a 17-year-old that left me really quite speechless. Which, if you know me, is not a normal thing. And it was a letter that thanked myself and the Bards team for all that we are doing to help them get through their first year in college, that they were a listener to the Bards FM program, ending with, "I am very grateful to exist in such a time with so many wonderful patriots." And adding as well, "You have helped drive home the importance of faith in God and what it really means to be a patriot. The crazier the world has gotten this year, the less fear and the more peace I have found in God. I know you care a lot about the new generation of people who are step up because to become next leaders in the world. So I want to let you know that you are making a difference. Please keep doing what you're doing for as long as God calls you to." It's very seldom that you hear from a youth. I mean, I get letters regularly and testimonies, and I'm moved and humbled by all of them, and I'm not taking away from any of them, but our youth is our future. And I was deeply moved by the note. And as this happened last night in the garden, I kind of sat back for a minute and I went, okay, what is really going on here? What was I doing? And what I was doing is I was letting the problem happen and not witnessing the problem and not getting directly involved with the problem and thinking that if I could administer something in the daylight when everything was clear before me that I would somehow understand what was going on in the darkness. The metaphors are profound. And as I applied this to what this letter was telling me, this is our youth. We raise our youth and we see them. And then we send them off to college into the darkness and we think we understand what they're going through. We think that we can fix the problem of our youth by sitting back on the side and administering something when they come home, for example. But when they come home, we're in conflict. We're seeing them. We're present with them. When they go off to college, we still think that we're parenting them. But we're not. They're walking in the darkness. And yet we're expecting them to guide, get through that on their own. And we're expecting them to just remember all the good things that we've told them, hopefully. And we're expecting them to navigate the viper pit and not be bitten. My plants out there that were suffering from attacks by earwigs weren't suffering by a mass attack all at once. It was a slow whittling away of the plants over days by little tiny bugs that much of the time are doing good. They're the little tiny bugs that take out aphids and other parasitic creatures, and they're keeping the plants strong, but these bugs now had turned on the plants. Our teachers are like that. We assume that they're taking care of things. We assume that they're teaching the subjects that will help our children grow to open their minds. But are we ever in the classes? Are we ever there to witness what's going on? We choose colleges by name based on what they will do for getting our child a job. But what actually goes on in the darkness at those places? And what are we actually doing when we send our children there? We spend our life of a child encouraging them to go to college, talking about their grades, getting them to raise up, to strive to be at a big name, whether it's Harvard or Yale or Princeton or Stanford. Maybe it's a state college. Whatever that is. And yet we don't spend the time to really understand what they're actually going through in the darkness. So last night I walked the garden. I put on my headlamp and I walked the garden. I put on my glasses. I got down and I moved through the leaves of the plants, and I could see what was happening finally. The aphids that were doing such a good job of, not aphids, the earwigs that were doing such a good job of maintaining the things like the aphids had now turned on my plants. They were eating the leaves voraciously, but in small ways, cutting the leaf off down to the stem, cutting holes in the leaves. And it was allowing them to breed and make more. Had I not spent the time to go out there, I would assume at the rate they were going, there wouldn't be much left by the end of this week. And everything that I had started would have ended up being killed off by something that was supposed to be doing good, but also does a great deal of harm. Our children are cast into the den of vipers. We do so with a smile. We pack them up with things. We take them to college. We set them up in their room. And then we celebrate and we brag to our friends, talk about how proud we are and what they're doing at school. And then we scratch our head as if it's a mystery that suddenly they become strongly liberal or anti-God. And then we start saying things like that. Well, we try to reach it, but we can't get hold of him anymore. We struggle when we hear that our child took the injection. And we say, well, I just can't get through to them anymore. No, we failed. We failed. We didn't spend time in the darkness. We didn't get in deep in the darkness to see what actually happened. They're still children in a certain way. Our job is to nurture, not to be abusive, not to force their way through, but our job is to nurture and to guide and to mentor. And they trust us. This young patriot that wrote me is a patriot of the truest sense. This young patriot has found strength in this podcast, which is truly blessed, and I mean that. And I hope this young patriot will spread this, not because I want more listeners, but because I hope that if this podcast has helped one young patriot, one future leader, that maybe it will help another. And as far as like one of the things you come across in your life that really just opened your eyes and you say, thank you, God. That's one of those emails that says to you, thank you, God. When I look at the breakdown of the age groups of where this podcast hits, that's the one group I always put my eye on. And it's the hardest to grow. The topics that we have that we're discussing are very relevant to the more adult level people. When I say adult, it's not taking away from the maturity of our youth. But in the future leaders, they're consumed with different things many times. And yet they shouldn't be. It's not their fault. It's a failure at our homes. We should be talking about Scripture and the Bible and the importance of what that means in terms of leading our nation, in terms of our Constitution, in terms of what it is to be a patriot, in terms of what it is to be a warrior, in terms of Christ. We should be talking about the strength of faith in our lives and what it is to bring unity, to see unity rather than to see difference and division, to learn discernment and the power that gives us when we encounter the challenges of university. It is stunning to me, and I mean this, when I see parents and I see good children leave communities and go to college, I cringe. Because I know in this day and age, it's a send-off to Satan's lair. For those that can navigate it and come out of it stronger, like this young patriot, they're an unbelievable asset to this nation. And we don't need just one. We need a million more like them. And that's only going to happen if we ourselves engage with them and go into the darkness. I could have used a pesticide last night. Those are easy. Spray everything with a pesticide. It kills everything. It's not what I did. Because there's a balance in that ecosystem that you still have to try to maintain. You don't want to nuke everything. The earwig still has a bit of a function, though they irritate me. And the biggest thing right now is to strengthen those plants and to work on that soil and to do those things that will reduce the damage. And yet there's going to be some loss, and I accept that, because in a garden there's going to be strong plants and weak plants, and you're going to lose some. That's just the way it is. But the metaphor is, again, the reminder that we have to be, if we're going to do the thing of sending our children to a university, it isn't just preparing them at home. It's being engaged and going into the darkness where they are. Universities don't like that. They don't want parents around. That should be your first red flag. And yet we continue to do it. Parents seem astonished. It's like, my child's completely changed. Well, no kidding. You sent him into a brainwashing camp. A brainwashing camp that you paid for it, or you put your child in debt for it. This is ultimately where the story is. We have great things that we can suggest in terms of what schools to go to, what not. The principal issue comes back to the singular message. At the end of the day, it's not about my garden. My plants will survive. I'll find the right cure. It's not about a college or whether to go or not to go. It's not even about the name of the college. It's about us being willing to get into the darkness and see the problem and then work with the problem face to face. That means we have to step out of our zone and get into those zones that are uncomfortable. I don't enjoy going all night, having an hour of sleep and coming in and doing a program. It's not my choice. It's a necessity. And like raising a child, you start a garden. It's a responsibility. You're going to have to get into that space to do it right. I'm not surprised that there's some sort of insect attack. There usually is at some point or another, especially with here. Like I told you yesterday, we have all the settings of paradise, California right now. Dry climate, crisp air, haze in the air. They've been dumping all sorts of stuff in the atmosphere above us, and we've been seeing it day by day. So there's going to be problems. But if I don't step into the place where the problem is and I get engaged in that darkness that it lives in, I'm never going to be able to see it, and I can never expose it to light. And if I have a child that's working in there and I've sent them into that den of vipers and thieves, I shouldn't be surprised that they have an impact on our child's mind or my child's mind. That should not be a surprise to me. I shouldn't be sitting back scratching my head saying, well, I just can't believe it. My son, my daughter just returned home, and it's like they've forgotten everything I taught them. Basically, they have. And basically, in a parenting sense, you failed. Accountability is huge. And we have to be honest with ourselves when we look at accountability and not just pass it off as, well, you know, it's the university doing it to our kids. They're evil. Universities exist because they get our money, or because we signed the agreement to have our children get student loans. They don't exist on their own. They don't exist by magic. Hopefully we're starting to learn that. Universities need to be the last place you send your kids initially. Trade schools, online schools, community colleges. Those are the places to get the footing underneath them, to get the experience. But we go from 0 to 100. Most children haven't left the home before high school. And then suddenly we go from here to we launch them into the dorms. They're living on their own, and we brush it off and we say, well, they've got a dorm monitor and the university is going to take care of them. They're going to be just fine. And I will guarantee you, if most parents knew what kids did in their first year of college, they would be stunned, shocked, and deeply disappointed. But at the end of the day, the only disappointment would have to be on the parents' shoulders. What else did they expect? Should I be surprised after a few days that certain plants were dying and certain leaves were getting chomped on? No, I don't blame the earwig. The earwig is like the snake. It's predictable once I understood its behavior. Once I understood that what the earwig was going to do, it all made perfect sense. So I had to make corrective action. Our responsibility is to nurture and to protect and to help and to love those as we want to be loved. But the key thing about our children is to nurture and to protect, until they have the strength to stand on their own. Universities, by their very nature, are designed and operate on the function of changing minds, not for the better anymore. To open the mind, they would say, to make people think bigger, but not that way anymore. They're the incubators for the future leadership based on a model and a template that they have determined, one that's shaped around Marxism, one that's shaped around obedience, one that's shaped around accepting and embracing tyranny. And so we send our children off and we wonder with amazement how something could happen that such a good child could turn against his parents or her parents or against their nation. This young patriot that wrote last night has navigated those waters. They found an anchor, and it shows you just how a program like this, giving God in their lives regularly, gave them strength to navigate through the difficult waters of that school. What a hat tip I have to that patriot, and what respect. But it should give us all a moment of pause, all a moment to reflect on exactly where our world is and what our responsibility is. If we don't raise a generation to see this world with God in their hearts and the love of nation for what it is to be free, truly free by the Constitution as it was designed to work, if we don't raise that generation, we have failed. For all the work that we will do without the upcoming generation being awake, being committed to resetting this nation on the roots of In God We Trust and a love for nation and resetting a nation on a principle of moral law as it was designed by our founders. If we do not do that, if we do not help nurture that, help guide that, be engaged in the darkness and the areas in which they fight, if we don't accomplish that, we could win the biggest battle ever. And within a few years, it will all be lost. Because there'll be nobody to fill the spaces that we'll create when we're gone. There is no generation more important right now than the generation that's entering into college and that is currently in college. And that's the sons and daughters of patriots out here in America. This is time that we have to double down, dig in, find a way to talk to them, find a way to engage them. Get them home to talk to them, to hear what's going on in their thoughts. Not to argue and fight. It's not going to be easy if they've been in that indoctrination incubator for a long time. And if you haven't been engaged to this point, it's going to be tough. I know of parents whose children have independently gone out in college and gotten the injection. It's a heartbreaking moment, especially as we know what this is. These kids aren't being told at the university, as they should be, that this injection is going to sterilize them. No, the universities instead are mandating it. And what are the parents doing to intercede? When you read a headline that says 2.5 million students are facing mandatory vaccinations, when does a child get an independent choice to simply go to school? And the way that this will work in this country is they'll say, well, they're over 18, they can make a choice. That may be so. But how many parents are engaging their children to say, don't do this? This is experimental. This is why. Having these discussions. If you're paying the bills for school, are you pulling that money back and requiring a discussion to be had on the safety and efficacy of this injection? This is one of the most critical things we face right now. One of the most critical things. Our minds are still very pliable at 18 years old. And very susceptible to these influences. So this is a time right now that We have to honor our youth by engaging with our youth. These are the future leaders of our nation. Yes, they have a lot of skills. Yes, they have a lot of facts in their head. But wisdom is something they need. And wisdom comes from good counseling, good engagement. Wisdom comes from reading scripture. Wisdom comes in a way of engaging them in such a manner that they will be able to hear the scripture, be able to hear the importance of our founding documents. And it's the most difficult and challenging engagement you will make, and it's the most important one you will ever do. We don't just brush our hands and say, darn, well, I raised him or her, and that's too bad. It didn't quite work out the way I intended. That's giving up. And we're letting them walk in the process. We're letting them walk through the wide gate and the easy path. And we ourselves are walking there with them. That's the worst part about it. When we don't engage the youth, we literally are joining them in that walk due to self-destruction, because we didn't choose the most difficult path, which was the engagement, the love, the nurturing of God, and all of those types of discussions that are so important for a young adult to understand and to hold in their heart, to have each day as a sounding board and an anchor, so that they can get through these difficult places and times. They need us. They don't need the parent of a state-run institution with an ideology that's rooted in globalism, Marxism, and the hate for God. They don't need that. So that's a twofold issue. Number one, any parent sending their child to those sorts of universities, you better look in the mirror and ask yourself what you're doing. Number two, any parents sending their children to those schools or universities, if you expect them to come back and not be changed, then apparently you believe in the concept of insanity or blatant stupidity, one of the two. Our youth are great people, but they are going to suffer dearly in these coming years. So many have been allowed to be introduced to the babysitter of the iPad and the iPhone, the lack of honest engagement by parents, that they're left to wander, and then we wonder again, why is it they turned out that way? Well, guess what? Our fingers are in the middle of that pot, deep in it. So it's time for us to do what we are intended to do, what God gifted us to do, what God trusted us to do, to nurture, to protect, and to lead them. Make good decisions. Guide them to the right places as they leave your home. Encourage them to take baby steps in their education. Get a skill before they go and learn about the world through the eyes of a Marxist. Become a potter, become a painter, become a welder. Become a draftsman. Become an auto mechanic. All of those things are at every community college. Get a skill first. And then decide whether university is the right way to go. That's the sort of good nurturing that we need. Get a degree online, live at home, set it up so they feel that they have independence and they don't have to be around you every breath. Work with them. Give them some compromise. As children grow to young adults, they need that. That's part of us respecting the creation we've been part of. But don't just throw them into the den of wolves and expect something different to happen. I have such passion for our youth. I just hope we can reach enough of them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for each day that's given an ability for us to see clearly, for us to hear clearly, for us to walk this path and to have the many things revealed to us, and to remind us again and again the levels of accountability that exist within this world that we must face and be part of. We don't have the right to disengage. We don't have the place to walk away. We don't have the room anymore to hide in our homes or shirk away from the responsibilities that you gave us. We are now living in a new age, an age that is truly accountable, Lord, to everything that we do, our breath, our walk, every part of our day. Let us be honest in that way. We pray that we'll be honest in our hearts and our honesty to you. Many of the decisions that we have to make, the things that we have to confront, are not easy, and you know that. So, Lord, we pray for the strength. We pray for the clarity in those decisions. We pray most of all for the wisdom and guidance that you give us to help us find the way to dig into the darkness, to bring the light, to be part of a solution that opens minds and hearts, that nurtures and protects, to remind ourselves constantly of that walk as Christ did for us. And it's so that, and it is there that Christ lives within us. So let us awaken and embrace the heart of Christ. Seek his wisdom. And in so doing, live by your laws and live in a way that honors and reflects all that you've given us in such a glorious way. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. Never forget our youth. Above all, never, ever forget our youth. In all this noise and distraction, right now, the war is being pivoted back to go after them, and they're going after them hard. We have a role, a responsibility to try to reach them, to awaken them, to alert them to what they're about ready to encounter. So many of them see at this point in time that they don't want a family, they don't want to get married. They don't care about anything but what's before them, these critical race theory, the guilt of being a white person, the crises of not accepting somebody that wants to become another gender, the forced acceptance of same-sex marriage and relationships, or even more, the casualness towards sex, the ability to move between male and female and be plural in all the things you do, to explore all the things that are supposedly taboo in the world, to try drugs. That's not what college is supposed to be about. That's part of the den of vipers that you're throwing your child into. It's not pretty. And most kids that leave there are changed, but not just because of the teaching, patriots. How many are part of the parties of getting drunk and sleeping with 3 or 4 people in the same night? How many people are part of having something slipped in their drink? Or choosing to get drunk and then try something that later they'll regret? How many people, how many youth are influenced to do things because they're in a group that's misguided, that pressures them to do it, and yet we somehow expect them to all stand on their own? That's naive foolishness. We need to lead this fight as we lead all fights, and we lead it with faith, and we lead it with our belief in God and our love of country. And we have a lot of work to do on that and on that battlefield right there. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. If you're one of those youth, young adults, that's not an insult to say youth. If you're one of those young adults out there that's listening, understand that there's a world of patriots out here that love you, that respect you. Let them in. Let them speak. Hear what they have to say. There's tremendous, tremendous wisdom. It's not always easy to hear an adult talk. But it's important what we have to say. You're our generation of the leadership of the future, and we want you to succeed. That's our greatest, greatest reward. Keep your prayers up, patriots. Remember, God will never leave you and never forsake us. And right now, we need God to really guide us all through this challenge of helping our youth. Because it's there that we truly win. And it helps us celebrate even greater God's victory over all things. So see you in a little bit for Storm Dispatch. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
With the night.